right, Scott, within the, maybe by Monday, maybe later today, I think. Yeah, but this one last Friday, someone told me they were listening to it. We were supposed to fairly quickly, so I just thought, if you don't know, just say you don't know.
This machine posts immediately.
Okay, that's what I need to know. Oh, that's what I thought someone said to me, so that's why I was asking you. Oh, no worries. I will make sure I find out, let you guys know how you can get it if you want to listen to it. Okay, so, Father, I thank you for utterance in the Holy Ghost, Father. I look to you, Holy Spirit. You are the real teacher, and you are the Spirit of truth. Lord, I thank you for truth. I thank you for the absolute truth, which is your Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing to teach, for the anointing to impart, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. So, now, we've been talking about this place, this place, and so, you know, I said to you last week, we have seasons, there are seasons in God, number one, let's start there, but there are also seasons in prayer, and particularly, or I guess it's a better word to say, especially for a group of this kind, because we give out so much here. But prayer is not just coming and giving out. That's not the entire picture of prayer. Okay. So, but in this teaching, we've been conducting this prayer group since 1998. So, and over the years, the Lord taught me some nuggets, you know. And one of them is we'll have seasons where we pour out, give out. And even during that time, you know, I'm giving the word. But then there come a seasons when he'll say, okay, I got to put something in you. As Lynn Hammond said, I need to put something in you to get us to the next level. On this elevator we're on, right? So because the elevator, you should keep going up. You know, in prayer, you know how we do. We get off on a floor, and it's awesome, and we want to stay on that floor, and we want to just live there. But no, in prayer, you know, the floors are, you know, unlimited, but you want to keep going up, in particular when it comes to your development in prayer and your capacity in prayer, and how you can't do that apart from, at some point, you have to put the word in. And that's how you keep from being flaky, if you will, of being a granola bar, fruit, nuts, and flakes, right? You know, because I've seen people, prayers get so off, and the sad part about it, they think they're so on. And you'd be like, what? It's because they neglect this. They neglect this. And then there are those that they're in the word. But then they neglect the others with him. You know, in the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. They neglect the with God part. Yes. They just in the word, and they just heady. And they just have a, remember I told you about this lady was in our church years ago. And boy, she had notebooks of confessions. It was all scripture. But just to look at her wore me out. Don't dare start let her confess. It flat wore me out. And I'm like, that's in the beginning was the word, but there was no God with the word. So God got me on this, and he'll do that sometimes. He'll give me something. But he got me on this. He just took this one little teaching because in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. When it's like that, then the Lord, the Holy Spirit began to breathe on the word, just what you call the word in the spirit. Everything is because of the word, I'm quoting Pastor Terry, but by the Spirit. Because of the word, but by the Spirit. And people sometimes struggle in keeping the balance in that. You know, and you know, and I understand that, being a prayer myself. I understand how, especially in the beginning, now not so much, but in my beginning years of praying and learning the things of prayer, I just wanted to pray all the time, in particularly in tongues. That's all I wanted to do. Forget this. I just want to pray. You know, those people say, oh, you teaching, we came to pray. And, you know, when they say that, you already know, they probably one of the worst prayers you ever come in contact with. I'm serious, for they do a lot of coro, but they shout out of my casa, whatever, but they don't have any results. Mm-hmm. Come on. You know, or they don't have this awesome presence that's on what they're doing. You see, or they full, they have a religious spirit. So, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And I told you how that I was just preparing for my Monday teaching over here with the prayer ministers. Monday morning, 2 weeks ago now. And I was like, okay, I'm just listening. I sense the presence of the Lord, and I'm just waiting on the Lord. And, you know, and I'm thinking, I do not want to teach on the authority of the believer, but if I have to, I will. And the Lord spoke. I heard this. Actually, I heard this. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And that was it for me, because with God came. That scripture came. But he was with that scripture. And he began to unfold it to me. He began to unpack it, if you will, to me. About this, I've known this all along, but I didn't ever think to go to the scripture in explaining, because, you know, you try to get people to understand, you know, in their prayer life, how can you get tired of praying? Because I know how you get tired of it, because you're just working. But see, prayer is like being with God. In the beginning was the Word. You always gonna start with the Word, right? You're gonna start with the Word. And the Word is always going to be that underlining, the foundation in your praying, because otherwise it's not real prayer. You know, and however, you have to pray, you know, because some people, I'll say, okay, they'll say, have you been praying? Yeah, I've been in the Word. And I thought, oh, okay, I know what the problem is. They don't know the difference. Or they say, yeah, I've been listening to the Word. Well, listening is not enough. You got to have this element. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, this is real prayer. If you can cultivate this operation, if you will, then you can count on every, you know, because I'm going to John in a minute, because I used to get mad about verse 7, so mad about it. But I knew it was true because God is true, but I always tell God that ain't true. Or I got to the point where I thought I'm not going to even do it because I don't measure up. I just can't get to the point where the Word can dwell in me in such a way where I ask anything, it'll be done for me. Because I'm thinking, God, that makes me so frustrated to read that scripture. Because it ain't happening. It's supposed to happen every time. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. You know, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm just going to say this, then I'll expound on it later. Moses changed the destiny of a nation by this principle here. He did. We're going to look at him. He changed the destiny of a nation. You know, and for lack of better terms, he got God to do anything he wanted God to do because of this very principle. God would say, I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to kill them all. Moses said, no, you are not. Because this. So, but now I want to go to, I'm going to read this. This has become one of my favorite translations. I had this for about maybe 4 years, but I never picked it up until I think the beginning of this year. The last time Pastor Paul Brady was here, y'all remember Pastor Paul? I need to see if he can come back again. But he was here. He read from this Bible, and he read from a scripture in Galatians. I was like, oh, my God.
Say what Bible is for the
day. Oh, okay, thank you. The Mirror Translation of the Bible. And I'm just in love with it. Because it's just like me and God, we renewed our marriage vows through this Bible. I'm serious. We have renewed our marriage vows because of this Bible. And I just can't get enough of it. So I want to read from John, several things from here. So I'll read from John. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's what the King James says. But this says here, and then verse 2 says, he was present originally with God. This is Amplified. And he was with God. What does the King James say?
The same was in the beginning with God.
The same was in the beginning with God. Now, so this says, verse 1 in the 1:1, John 1:1 in the Mirror Bible says, go back to the very beginning to find the Word already present there. Face to face with God. The Word is I am. God's eloquence echoes and concludes in him. The Word equals God. Verse 2. The beginning mirrors the Word face to face with God. So, and then verse 3. The Logos is the source. Everything commences in him. He remains the exclusive parent reference to their existence. There is nothing original except the Word. The logic of God defines the only possible place where humankind traces their genesis. His life is the light that defines ours. Now, verse 14 is another key here in this concept that I'm endeavoring to convey to you, okay? Suddenly, remember in the King James it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? Mm-hmm. So this is the Mirror Translation. Now listen to this. Suddenly, the invisible, eternal Word takes on visible form. Incarnation on display in a flesh and blood person as in a mirror. In him and now confirmed in us, the most accurate, tangible display of God's eternal thought finds expression in human life. That means you and I have become the Word in the flesh. Jesus was the Word made flesh among us. Now we are the Word made flesh in this world.
Amen.
The Word became a human being. We are his address. You're looking for God? Here I am. Here he is right here. But see, we don't act like that because we don't believe that yet. You looking for God? Here is right here. Did I not say you are God's? Remember Psalms 80? The Word became a human being. We are his address. He resides in us. He captivates our gaze. The glory we see there is not a religious replica. He is the authentic begotten Son, the glory. The glory returns in fullness. Only grace can communicate truth in such complete context. So we see that we are the Word. And then now when you go back to this first verse here, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, I was studying some different commentaries on this. And one commentary, I don't remember the reference right now. You have to bear with me. I may can find it. But one reference said, "In you know how we talk about the presence of God? And most say, if I don't go from here, my presence. But originally, the original meaning of that is face to face. It always means face to face. There is no such thing as the presence. It's like face to face with God. Face to face. Now, okay, come on. Keeps kicking me off. Okay, let me get back on here. Hey, Wiggy.
I'm just agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. Thank you for agreeing with me. So I finally got somebody to agree with me. Sweet Wiggy. So, let's see here. I'm going to read it to you again. I read it to you last week, but some people weren't here. So, where is it? Okay. Is that it? Oh, okay, hold on. Oh, it went to Genesis, no wonder. Okay. So in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Let's look at the with God part. These words express the coexistence, but at the same time, the distinction of person. They imply relation with, intercourse with, in the bosom of the Father, throned face to face, capital THRONED, throned face to face with God, the gaze ever directed towards God. Have been given as a paraphrase, and the full sense cannot be expressed in fewer words. The with represents motion toward. The being whose existence is asserted in the was is regarded as distinct, but not alone, as ever going forth in communion with God. And that's what prayer is, ever going forth in communion with God. Ever going forth. Ever increasing, ever growing, developing in this amazing intercourse with Him. And so intercourse is indicative. At some point, something is going to be conceived, right? So, ever going forth in this communion with Him. Moses understood this, and because of it, he changed the nation. He said, you ain't going to do it. He made God. He changed. You say, we can't change God's mind. Yes, you can. Because I know I've asked God for something. He told me no, and I kept on. He changed his mind. I said, I want this. No. I want it. But see, relationship. Relationship. Moses changed the destiny of a nation because he understood this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And this is how, this is the very core of the powerful prayers that you see people pray, like Lynn Hammond, and you see it out in the news, and like Miss Billy, because they know something about this. Pastor Terry knows something about this. And some people try to put the cart before the horse. They try to pray these big, powerful prayers and try to, you know, turn a nation, and they can't even turn, you know, believe for a headache to leave. Or pray and get, let God bless them with $10. Or, you know. But Moses, God put Moses on the magnanimous plan because he understood this. And he took this amazing assignment and dumped it on Moses. And Moses, because he understood this, Moses said, okay, show me your way. Because he knows in this operation are not just, you know, he didn't want to. He was interested more than just the end result. He was interested in the process, which we want to skip the process, you know. But he was interested because if you skip the process, it doesn't prepare you for the next time. But if some people, or you try to control the process, you see. But it's a process. That's a kingdom process. And Moses said, okay, you told me that I'm going to deliver these people, but show me your way. How? Because Moses knows. He sees this magnanimous plan. Excuse me. My eyes are healed. He sees this magnanimous plan, and he knows it all can't be accomplished in a day, a week, a month, a year, 10 years. So he's like, okay, I know because I understand this intimacy. I understand because God talked to him face to face, the Bible says. So he understood some things. He said, so show me your way. Let me walk this process out, you know. And God said, okay, there's a place beside me. In this place, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In this place now, Moses, beside me, enthroned with me, intertwined with me, I'm going to teach you how to walk your calling out step by step. I'm going to teach you how to lead the nation of Israel. That's a huge assignment. I'm going to teach you how to do it in this place. Okay. So, let's go look at Moses just for a minute. Oh, let's see. Let me just, you know, I'm just going to read Psalm 32 because I like this story. Because I like it that it comes out of this place that we're talking about. And then we'll go over to 33. But 32, when the people, verse 1, Exodus 32, verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, they gathered together to Aaron and said to him, up, make us gods to go before us. As for this Moses, see, they won't take the shortcut. Make us gods. Let me make my own God. You know, let me be my God. Okay, I've done it before. I said, okay, God, it's taking you too long. I'm gonna figure it out myself, you know? Shortcut. You know, remember, the longest distance between two points is a shortcut. The shortest distance is a straight line, but the longest distance between two points is a shortcut. So, you know, don't take the shortcut. Don't avoid the process because, you know what? It's just like you flunked, you know, second grade. I'm not going to promote you to third. You're going to repeat second grade until you pass. Kind of the same way in the plan of God. So don't be taking a shortcut because you're going to keep taking a shortcut. No, 20 years have gone. Somebody told me something. They've been believing something for 20, a simple something for 30 years. I'm like, please. I mean, not in arrogance, but, you know, I'm like, please. You know, took you 30 years to get that. Don't tell people that. It's just like I was strength training and I got up to 35 pounds and I told my son, I said, I can bench press 35 pounds. He said, Mom, don't tell people that. I thought, you know, I thought that was pretty good, you know. But, and so the other day I bench pressed 25 pounds. So I gone from 35 to 25. I'm going to build back up. I'm going to at least get back up to 35. So these people here, they don't have time to wait, so they started doing their own thing. So he received the gold at their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool and made it a molten calf, and they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw the molten calf, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation, said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought the peace offering. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down for your people whom you," Lord called him his people, "go down for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, that I may destroy them, but I will make of you a great nation." But Moses besought the Lord and said, and the Lord his God, and said, "Lord, why does your wrath blaze hot against your people?" Now, wait a minute. Excuse me, Moses. Why would you ask him that? You see what just happened. But watch this. "Why would your wrath blaze hot against your people, whom you have not..." Now, God called them Moses' people. Moses is calling God people. "Why have your wrath blazed against your people, whom you brought forth?" Lord said they were Moses' people, whom he brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand. "Why should the Egyptians say, 'For evil he brought them forth to slay them in the mountains and consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce wrath and change your mind concerning this evil against your people. Earnestly remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, 'I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens, and all this land that I have spoken of, I will give to your seed, and they shall inherit it forever.' Then the Lord turned from the evil which he had thought to do to his people." Wait a minute. Whoa, 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 wait a minute. Now you see the place Moses has because he understands the face-to-face thing. This is all about the continual communion moving toward God. It's all about the relationship. It's all about the intercourse. It's all about that before about any of this other stuff. So now, and God's getting on to Moses and said, "This is your people. You brought them, Moses, and all they're your people. You said that you were going to bring them up." Now, what would the world think? What's the world going to say? You weren't able to do it. God changed his mind. Moses, he changed the destiny of Israel right there. Right there, he changed the destiny because God was going to get ready to wipe them out. And Moses said, "You're not going to do this because you said this." See, the problem with us, sometimes we don't know what God said. Yeah. We be making this up. God said that he work in mysterious ways. Come on. You know. And then even if God says something that you can't in particular find in scripture, how are you going to know if you're not operating over here? Because, and that's why people all the time, they say, "How do I know if it's me or if it's God?" Well, you already told me what the problem is. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And you can go look at Exodus 9. Pharaoh called on God. God was going to do it. He sent the hail. You remember the thunder and the hail and all that was going on. And Pharaoh went to Moses. Said, "Go to your God." Because God was about to, he was about to blow. Moses said, "Look, what are you doing?" And you know, and I'm just paraphrasing it for time's sake. Because I got to get out of here at 10:15. Oh, let's see how that's going to happen. So, So over in Exodus, I think it's, Exodus 9, about the storm, and it was thunder and hail. You know, the hail was, you know, unbearable. And even Pharaoh said, "I'm going to your God. I need this to stop." And Moses saved the destiny of Israel again because it was not going to stop. And he stopped, and you can go look it up. And you can look time after time after time again when Moses and God had this discourse. And Moses got it, you know, in his place. And God said, "God, you're not going to do it." And it changed. He changed the destiny of a nation, not just the things in his own personal life, but he changed the destiny of a nation because of this place. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And he cultivated this face-to-face thing with God. He didn't get out because we do that. We get out and we try to make something happen, or we're too lazy to go through the process. We want to either go around the process or we want to control the process. And then God can do, because see, here's the beautiful thing about prayer. God is working on you. And all of this great dynamic, if you knew what was happening, this great dynamic is happening. God is working on you as well as on the thing that you're praying about. He's working on you, whether it's you're praying about, I don't know, maybe you're praying about something in your personal life you want to change, or some material thing you're believing for, or whether you're praying about a nation. Still, there's this amazing multifaceted operation that's happening where God is all the time working on you. So let's look at Exodus 34. And start with verse 11. And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Moses returned to the camp, but his minister Joshua, son of Nun, did not depart from the prayer tent. Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people. See, this, Moses said, you said, bring up this people. Exodus 33, verse 11. I did probably said 34. I know me, because my son, I'll say something. I didn't say. He said, Mom, you did. So I learned to go. And then the Lord let me hear my voice, and then sure enough, he'd be right. I'm like, so, but I meant Exodus 33, okay? I'm trying to live holy, so I'm going to confess every time I'm wrong. I'm going to confess when I'm not wrong. I just want to be holy, that's all. So Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Does the Lord know you by name? Yes, he know me by name. Know me by name, yeah. So anyway, but I won't expound on that today. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you. Progressively, see, it's a process. Progressively become more deeply and intimate. Wait a minute, hold up. God told Moses he's going to bring up the people of Israel. He's going to be their savior. He's going to lead them out. And Moses did not ask for a strategy. He did not ask, you know, for how much money was going to be. He said, I just want to know you. Because he knew something about, in the beginning was the word. He got the word from God. God told me, you're going to bring this people up. That's the word. Now, if you run off with just that, you're going to miss something. So, but he went to God. He said, oh, guess what? Show me your way. Show me how I can do this. And then show me your way. If the Bible had stopped there, we could have said, well, I guess Moses was talking about, give me a strategy. How I'm going to get, you know, Aaron and Miriam to behave and help me, you know. And how, you know, I'm going to get Aaron and her or whoever, Aaron and he or whoever, you know, to help me. God tell us what he did. He said, show me your way that I may know you. For my determined purpose is to know him, to become progressively more deeply and intimately. If you could just live there, that's in the beginning what's the word and word with God. Everything else is going to come out of that. You can change the destiny of this nation. We can change the destiny of this nation by operating right here, staying right here. Because you got to hear, but when you get over in the spirit, you got to be able to hear the strategies. You got to be able to know, you got to be able to pray things and go, oh my God. You know, because I know I'll pray sometimes some things and I'll be like, and then when it's over, I'm like, oh God, thank you. I was in that place, because in the natural, be like, whoa. Oof, you know. And you know, and I'm not just necessarily talking about bad or judgment things, you know, good things, because it's so overwhelming. You go, whoa, you know, and you don't even believe God. You don't even believe him. But when you're in this place, your head are doubt, but your heart is stay right with it. Your heart will not fight this. When you cultivate this, because it's all about the heart. You can have doubt in your head and faith in your heart and still get your answers. But you can't have faith in your head and doubt in your heart. That doesn't work. And that's what people think, because they have a mental assent to the word. You know, they believe from a head standpoint and not from a heart standpoint. And they think they're believing, but that's not true belief. Because the Bible said, with the heart man believes. And in this place is where you develop that heart. That heart is getting strong and it expanding to hold that desire, to hold that dream that you're believing for. And you keep cultivating that. I don't care what comes. Excuse my expression. Come. Well, is there a way to cut this out? I'm going to say come hell or high water. You know that saying? It doesn't matter what the external.